Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
All right, you're very welcome along to Thursday's Off the Ball. I'm fairly sure it is Thursday. We do lose track over the Christmas period. We've got a busy hour coming up. We're going to talk to Johnny Ward in just a little while about day two of Leopardstown and look ahead to tomorrow's big races as well. We've some of our best stuff coming up later in the show as well. We're here all the way through until 10 o'clock. But the one reason I know that it is Thursday is that John Giles is on the line. Happy Christmas. Happy New Year, John.
And you, Nathan, and all the listeners as well.
You're keeping well?
I'm good, thank you.
Good stuff. It was a busy few days of football, yeah, as it always is at this time of the year. And the end result, and I don't think Liverpool fans can quite believe it, is that they're 6 points clear of Tottenham and they're 7 points clear of Manchester City. Are you as surprised that everybody else is, how it's developed over the last couple of weeks?
Oh, definitely, Nathan. We all know Liverpool are playing very well, but I couldn't see Manchester City losing two matches in the space of a week. To leave Liverpool 7 points ahead of them at this particular stage. So it's great for Liverpool, not so good for Manchester City, unfortunately.
It is, as you say, two defeats in a row for Manchester City, a third defeat in their last four matches. And it means that now they are no longer the front runners, that for the first time really in the last 18 months that they have to try and chase down a team in the Premier League. When you look at the manner of the defeats then to Crystal Palace and to Leicester, what's gone wrong?
Well, it's very difficult to put your finger on it, Nathan. It does happen. I didn't see either of the matches, but I think there were some great goals against them in the two matches, which can happen. I mean, it's not as simple as that, but it can happen that you hit a run. I mean, I go back again to my Leeds time in 69. We won 68-69. We won the league. We had two defeats in 42 matches. But we went to Burnley, I think, around October time, and were beaten 5-1. You know, we never lost another match for the rest of the season. But Manchester City, but that was one defeat. But Manchester City have lost, what, three now out of the last four? Which you couldn't see happening. But that's the way it is. You know, my take on the Manchester City thing, Nathan, they're a very, very good team, as we know. There have to be perfection, you know. I don't think there's any room. Like, they have possession of the ball, they've got to keep possession of the ball, they've got to be scoring goals. There's certainly not much emphasis on defending. Now, they haven't conceded many goals during their great run last year, but there's always a possibility that will happen. Whereas with Liverpool, for example, now, who've strengthened up their defence, they don't have to be perfect, Nate, you know. Am I getting my point across there?
Go into that then in a bit more detail.
Well, I think there's more room for error in what Manchester City do or try to do than there is for Liverpool. You know, I think Liverpool are good defensively now. They're not conceding many goals, whereas Manchester City have to be scoring goals. They have to be on top. They have to have possession of the ball most of the time. And if they're not doing that, then the defence is under severe pressure. And I think that's happened to them in the last few matches that they've lost.
As you say, two of the goals that were scored against them in the last couple of matches were outstanding strike from Andros Townsend and the goal from Pereira to win it for Leicester last night. But also both of those sides, they seem to have a bit of ambition taking on Manchester City, which it feels has been sorely lacking from an awful lot of teams. It's probably something that's always been there for dominant teams. You think back to Manchester United, it always felt as though half the teams they played every season were beaten before they even arrived at Old Trafford. And for Manchester City, for long periods this season, teams set up ultra defensively, glad to get out of there with keeping the score down. Whereas Palace and Leicester, because maybe most of their talents are attacking wise, it seems as though they went at City and they were able to unnerve them quite quickly.
Well, I think a lot of the teams might think now, look, we've nothing to lose. We've gone there with a defensive attitude and we're beaten anyway. So we might as well have a go, because the worst we can do is lose. And that might be the case. It's very, very hard to put your finger on these particular situations where City have been so dominant for such a long time, and then all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, in three matches, you know, out of four, they're losing, Nathan. Now, I think a lot of it is down to they don't have a full team out some of the weeks. I think they've had a good few injuries.
Yeah.
But they did without those players last year. But it doesn't happen all the time. You know, it's football is a... it's a game of chance in many ways. It can happen on any one particular day. You know, Liverpool have got to go through it yet, and they've done extremely well so far. I mean, they did get a break a couple of weeks ago when they beat Everton in the last kick of the game. That was a big break to get. But they're more solid than they've been for a few years now, Liverpool, there's no doubt. And again, they're not seeking perfection in the way that they play, where City's almost has to be perfection to do what Guardiola wants them to do. And for a long time, they've been quite near that anyway, Nathan. So, but they've hit a bad time recently. There's no doubt about that. And Liverpool have taken full advantage of it. And good luck to Liverpool for that.
Quite often, Pep Guardiola's sides, when they've won the league, have dominated the league. And they've won it early. They've won in a really convincing manner. This feels as though, with Liverpool and Spurs playing so well, that it is going to be a proper old-school title race, that we will have two or three teams there right to the death. And I guess that means that, as you said there, going back to your Leeds days, you lose a big game, you get well beaten by Burnley, and you respond, and you don't lose again for a long period of time. Guardiola spoke about that he needs to change the dynamic. How difficult is it at this time of year of all times, when they're back out again on Sunday against Southampton, then they play Liverpool a week from now, to somehow flick the switch when you have very little time in the training ground, when players' heads are dropping? Is this where really we find out about Pep Guardiola as a manager as much as a coach?
Well, that's a bit unfair, I think, isn't it? You know, and he's had a bad week, you know, in the space of like a season and a half. He hasn't, like, when what happens with all things in football, with Guardiola last year, he was a genius. Now he's lost three matches and then, oh, is he a genius? You know, we've got to find out now if he's any good. But it happens, you know, the teams, any teams can lose a few matches. I mean, it's just, you know, what do you have to look at? You compare it to what he's done, and the last couple of weeks have been a disaster.
Mm.
But if he hadn't been doing so well, then he'd won, unlike they did last year in a certain way, say won by two or three points, you wouldn't be looking at him with a different eye. But there's no switch, Nathan. You mentioned the word, can you switch it on?
Mm.
There is no switch in football. Football is what it is. Of course, you lose a match or two, the confidence is down, and it's up to the manager to build it back up. But they don't suddenly become bad players overnight, and they don't become great players overnight. And I think it does happen in the media a lot. Like last year, they were saying, oh, Manchester City, are they the best team ever in the Premiership? You know, a lot of people were saying that. And of course, luckily enough for City and Guardiola, Guardiola was the first to refute that. He said, and he never said, we're the best team ever in the Premiership, ever. It's the people in the papers and on the different media that have said that, but he never said it. And who knows if they weren't the best teams ever? I've always been asked who's the best team ever. Couldn't tell you, because you've got great teams in different eras. And Manchester City last season were one of the best teams ever to play in England. There's no doubt about that. Were they the best? Who knows? You know, you go back to Manchester United and all the other great teams, but they were certainly the best last season. They're not the best at the moment, but there is no switch. What it comes down to is hard work. You know, they've had a couple of injuries. Get them all back again, and that's the manager's job, which is difficult now, to restore the confidence and the belief to go out and do it when you've had a few bad results, Nathan. And that's not easy.
Mm. One of the good things about the level that City have got to is it seems that they've inspired those around them to get to that level as well. And what Liverpool have had to do to have this lead is get to 51 points at the halfway stage of the season. They are still unbeaten. They've only dropped points in three matches. But the most remarkable part of it is, defensively, that improvement. They've only conceded 7 goals so far in their 19 games, 12 clean sheets in 19 matches.
Yeah.
From where they were a year ago, and we had this conversation so many times where you felt Liverpool were a one-trick pony, but it was a bloody good trick.
Yeah, I still believe that.
Really?
Yeah, of course. Of course. But what he's done now, you see, he's improved the personnel. I think his philosophy is still the same. But what he was trying to do as the one-trick pony, with a very good trick, by the way, was to do what he was doing. But he was losing goals left, right and centre. But if you look at the Liverpool team from last year, they have a new goalkeeper, right? They have two new centre-halves when Gomez is fit.
Yeah.
And a left back who's probably the best left back now in the Premiership. Now, he was at the club last year when he wasn't playing. He was playing Moreno down for a long time.
The first few months last season, yeah.
You know, and that's three out of a four new defence. I'm not so sure about the right back. He's okay, but the other lads are as good as you'll get in the Premiership and the goalkeeper at the moment. So what they're doing now, they're scoring the goals like they did last year, maybe more even, but they're not conceding them, Nathan. I mean, Liverpool last season conceded, I don't know what it was, 30-odd goals.
Yeah.
They were winning matches 2-0 and 3-0 and drawing them. That's not happening now. I think he's improved the defence, there's no doubt. But he still has the trick of going forward, which is a great trick, with the lads going for it, going for it, going for it. It's all go, go, go. They're doing that, but they're not conceding the stupid goals they were conceding last year. And obviously, if they could keep the best of what they had, which they have done, and improved what was the worst aspect, which was defending, then you have what you've got this season. And I think you're right to mention, too, obviously they know what they have to do if they're going to win it, with City doing what they did last year.
Mm.
They can't afford to make any slip-ups. And Liverpool have been brilliant. I think Klopp has done absolutely brilliantly this year. I still think he's a one-trick pony, but it's a good trick and a very good trick. Now that he has a defence, it's really, really working well for him.
You mentioned him there, Virgil van Dijk, and his influence over the past year since he signed for the club. And some of us are inclined to get carried away at times, and already there's talk of him. Is he one of the best defenders in the history of the Premier League? But then you hear some of the Liverpool legends, the likes of Graeme Souness, comparing him to Alan Hansen and comparing him very favourably to Alan Hansen. When you look at the impact he's made over the last year, and particularly this season, does he deserve to be spoken about in those sort of terms, Virgil van Dijk?
Well, I think it's always a little bit exaggerated. I think he's done very, very well for them. But they do have a new goalkeeper.
Mm.
And we have to, sorry, I can't remember the left-back's name.
Robertson.
Robertson. You know, Robertson is I think he's probably the best left-back I've seen in the Premiership this season. Gomez, who's been injured for a long time, has come as a really, really top-class player. So they actually have a new defence. Van Dijk is very, very good. He's very dominant. He's very good on the ball. I'm not so sure he's as good as John Terry when he came to throwing his body in front of things around the edge of the box and things like that. Now, I'm being a bit picky there, Nathan, but his influence on Liverpool has been very, very good, and they needed that type of thing there in the defence. There's no doubt. Now, when it comes to charging balls down and not, I still think he's not quite as good as John Terry, for example, but he's up there with the best. I mean, when you had Hansen and these guys playing at their best, you know, Hansen was a terrific defender, and he was also like a midfield player coming forward on the ball. So, you know, I think it's right to be comparing him with the likes of Hansen, who was one of the greats. I think he's been a terrific influence, Van Dijk has, for Liverpool since he's come to the club. There's no doubt about that whatsoever.
Yeah.
And the goalkeeper. Well, all of the defenders, it didn't have a defence, Nathan, at all.
Yeah, as you say, from 18 months ago, it is a completely different back five between the goalkeeper and the defenders, if everybody's fully fit. And like you used the word influence there. I wonder if that's the key part of this for Van Dijk. When you look at Robertson and Gomez, who are two very young players, do you feel that part of their brilliance and their development is because Van Dijk is there as the calming influence? You look at Andy Robertson in particular on the left-hand side, it feels as though he can bomb up and down that wing because he knows that Van Dijk is going to cover him. He's going to be there if he ends up getting caught out of position.
Well, it's all part of it, Nathan. You know, you have confidence in each other. You know, if you know you're going out with a top-class player, then of course you have more confidence to do what you need to be done, because good players make good players even better. You know, if you get one good player in a team of 10 bad players, he's not going to be such a good player, Nathan.
Mm.
You know, nobody can do it on their own. I mean, there's an old saying in football, the better the players you play with, the better the player you're going to be. And there's no doubt from the lads that you mentioned with Van Dijk, Van Dijk's influence has been great. There's no doubt about that. And the other lads have responded. But if they were bad defenders, like they had before, Nathan, they wouldn't be able to respond in the way these lads have.
Mm.
These lads are good players in their own right. And that's what makes a terrific team like Liverpool are at the moment.
One of the problems they had in those first couple of years under Klopp as well was that when they did go in front, that it never felt safe with Liverpool. And it feels this time, even when games are tight, that they're a bit more in control. And maybe it hasn't got as much attention, but also the midfield has been pretty much overhauled as well. He seems to change it for pretty much every match, but he's brought in three new midfielders. He brought in Fabinho, Keita, and Shaqiri can fit in there as well. Has that added a bit more, I don't know how as to see out a game, as to how to control a game? Have you seen an improvement in that from Liverpool?
Not particularly. No, I don't. But you see, when last year when they weren't doing well, and Klopp was saying at Newcastle they drew 1-1, And after the match, he concentrated on the chances that they missed.
Mm.
He didn't concentrate on the terrible goal they gave away. Now, what's happening this year? They're not giving terrible goals away. So you only need one to win it, Nathan. You know, like there was times last year we were 3-0 and it finished 3-3. And just because you defend well doesn't mean you can't score goals, or vice versa. That's what the good teams do. You can still score your goals, but you can, if the forwards are not scoring as they should, and they scored one, and the defence is doing his stuff, you still get the 3 points. So that actually, what they're doing is defending well. And the midfield, the lads that he signed, actually, have come in now and again.
Mm.
You know, Henderson is still there. Milner, terrific, great player for them. Wijnaldum is there. The other lads come in. They were there last year as well. But we're conceding the goals. You can't, you know, once you're playing, just because you're not scoring a lot of goals means you have to concede goals. That's what happens to the great teams. If you look at the teams over the years winning, their goals against have been very, very good, Nathan.
Yeah.
And that's what Liverpool have done this year more than anything else. They're still scoring the goals, but they're not giving goals away, which is brilliant. It's called a complete team.
Mm.
And up to this year, they didn't have that. So he's still got the one-trick pony approach, which is go, 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 but able to defend when they're not conceding a lot of goals. And that's been the big change for Liverpool. And good luck to Klopp. He's put it right, and I think they're in a position now where they deserve to be.
Yeah, 6 points clear then at the halfway stage.
Yeah.
Klopp asked about pressure, obviously, and almost 30 years since Liverpool last won the title and having this lead at the halfway stage. He says, it means nothing. It's important how many points we have, not the others, because what is 6 points? It's nothing. We have to play them still. They're all so strong. We have to play them all again. Mm. It's only the first part of the season. I guess he's going to have to keep along that track as the season rolls on and try and downplay the pressure. But
I think he'll handle that easily.
Yeah.
When I keep saying he's one trick, and it's a good trick, it's a one trick run. That's what he believes in, regardless of what the other team, which is really, really good management. He's not going to be interested in Manchester City or Spurs. He's only going to be interested in what he does, and he believes in what he does, which is go, 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 go. And he has a defence now to accommodate them when they're not going so well. That's what he does, and that's what he believes in. I don't think he'll change. I don't think in any match he'll say, well, we've got to defend a bit today. I don't think he's going to change at all. And I think that's what makes him a top-class manager. He really believes in what he's doing. And I think he has the players now to what the words I'm looking for is to complete his vision of where he wants the team to go. I think he actually has the players now to do it. I think he tried to do it since he's come into the club, but he didn't have a defence, which let him down. But he's still getting the goals this year, but he's not conceding the goals that he has done in previous seasons. And that's what his belief is. And he won't change that. Regardless of what Spurs do or Manchester City does, he will continue doing what he's doing. And that's what makes him what he is.
That focus on yourself in a title race, and you were involved in plenty of them, and you know what it takes to win a league, and you've also been involved in title races where at the final hurdle it didn't happen for you. Is it hard not to get caught up as a player in what other teams are doing? Because the way it goes with television fixtures now, it's probably unlikely we're going to see too many occasions where Liverpool and City play at the same time on a Saturday afternoon. Quite often, one will play on a Saturday, one will play on a Sunday, or vice versa. Is it hard not to expend too much energy on worrying about the opposition?
Well, there's no point with Nathan. You know, when you're a pro, like I was a pro and I'm all the team, well, all the other pros, when you're a pro, you can only do what affects you.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You can't, if Manchester City or in my day, if Everton and I were in the Rochford, you can't do anything about what they do. All you can do is do something about what you can do. So you have to wipe that out of your mind. We go out to play today. We were going with Liverpool. Liverpool were playing so-and-so tomorrow. So what? We can't do anything about Liverpool can do. All we can do is what we can do now, which you do, and that's a professional approach. You can't be looking at the fixture list. You know, you look. Only thing you've got control over is your match today. If we go out and win today, then if Liverpool are playing tomorrow and they win, and hopefully they lose, you can't do anything about that.
Mm.
That's an approach all the time. Because if you start doing things like that, worrying about Nathan, you drive yourself mad. You'd never sleep at night.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. That's what happens to an awful lot of people.
Don't forget, when I'm playing football, I'm talking about myself now. I was a professional footballer. And the reason you're a professional footballer is because you don't allow yourself to think that way. What you think is, what can we do?
Right.
Liverpool can't stop us winning today because we're not playing them today. So we go out and play. If they win tomorrow, so be it. So you can only win as many matches as you can win, and hopefully in the run-in, actually we had a run-in for Liverpool in 1969, we needed a draw at Liverpool in the second last match of the season to clinch it. It was that close. And we got the draw there that particular. But we had a real, real ding-dong between Liverpool. But I know from playing it myself, never thought about Liverpool. You'd hope they lose, but that's up to them.
And would you have got a boost when they did lose?
They can't stop us winning the match tonight. You know, we're playing, say, Manchester United on the Friday night, and they're playing. They can't stop us winning at Manchester United. Only Manchester United can do that. So you have to live with that. That's the mentality you have to have when you're playing as a professional footballer.
So if Liverpool did lose, you weren't getting a boost out of that?
Oh, you'd want it.
Yeah.
But you still have to go and win you a match. In other words, there's no good Liverpool losing
if you
the
lose
day before
as well.
And then you losing the next day, Nathan. Because all you had to do, whatever they did, you had to do your own stuff. And obviously you would want them. The more matches they lost, it made it easier for you. But actually, when we were in the run-in with Liverpool at that particular year, don't you see, they hardly lost a match.
Yeah.
You know, we had to keep going, till it got to the stage. I remember Don Revie saying in certain matches, I think if we get anything today, we can win the league, right? Then we got to Liverpool, and what it was true, if we get anything today, we actually win the league. But it was the second last match of the season. They kept going. We kept going. You know, there was nothing between us. And we had to win it with a record number of points. But we couldn't be thinking about Liverpool when we were going out to play. You only thought about Liverpool when you played against them. And hoping against hope, they would lose a match, of course.
And I wondered
then. You couldn't
then,
do anything about it, though.
Yeah.
You couldn't, you know, you couldn't. You can only beat the people in front of you. And that's the mentality you have to have. As I said before, if you didn't have that mentality and you said, well, we have to win this, and if Liverpool were that, you'd never sleep at night. You wouldn't be able to play.
Well, maybe that answers my next question that I was going to ask, because I mentioned as it'll be 29 years since Liverpool last won the title. And whenever you go to Anfield, you can feel the expectation. You can feel the want of the Liverpool supporters. So many of them have no memories of Liverpool winning titles and are living off the history. When you won that title with Leeds in 69, it was the first time they'd ever won the league. I'm sure there was huge pressure surrounding that as well. Did you feel that? Do you sense that in the title race? Or again, is that the professionalism kicking in?
No, getting back to the same. Nathan, you wouldn't be a professional. You wouldn't be able to play if you didn't have a professional attitude. That's your living. That's your life. And you know that you have to control those emotions. In other words, if you're going to play at Wembley in front of 100,000 people, if you have it in your mind, oh, Jesus, there's 100,000 people going, if I make a mistake here, I make a mistake there. You can't live with that. You're a pro. You know, it's like Tiger Woods has a put on the last green to win the Open Championship. Like, if that were you or me, we'd be trembling. There's no way we'd knock the put in. That's his living, though. He's the pro. That's what he's born to do. And it's the same when you play football. That's what you're born to do. You go out and you do it. And in many ways, you look forward to it, Nathan. It's a challenge. This is what I have to do.
Yeah.
And in all players, there's a bit of a show-off in it as well. Of course you have nerves. But you have to control those nerves. And you have to make the nerves work for you. You know, you get the adrenaline going. But you're a pro. You wouldn't be playing at Wembley in cup finals if you didn't do it from the time you were a kid. You don't suddenly get to Wembley when you're 25, 26 playing in a cup final. You have to go through the youth training. You have to go through the youth cup, Central League, whatever the pressure is on at that particular time. That's your living. So you don't have the nerves that most people would have who don't play football. Again, if I was playing golf or tennis or Gaelic in All-Ireland, I'd be shaken out of my boots before I went out. I wouldn't be able to play.
You'd be out of your comfort zone.
But that's the idea of it's your game. You're the pro. You're a professional. You're born to do that, and that's what you believe, that you're going out to do it, and you're going to show everybody how good you are. But it is pressure, but you have to live with it.
And have you seen players not live with it?
Yes. Yes. I used to find when I was playing like in cup finals or watching cup finals in my time, there was nearly always one player in each team who found the pressure.
Right. And could you identify that early in the game?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, straight away.
Right.
Straight away. I played with a couple of players in cup finals in my team in the early days.
And is there anything you can do to calm them?
Who couldn't handle it.
Yeah. Is there anything you can do when you see in their faces that the panic is setting in? Is there anything you can do to get them through it?
No. No. No, there's no way you can carry anybody, Nathan. They're either doing it or they're not doing it, you know? Now, as the Leeds team improved, you know, by the time we won the Cup in 1972, we'd nobody like that.
Yeah. You were used to the big days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk about Manchester United then, because it's been a perfect start for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. 5-1 victory down in Cardiff. Followed up yesterday at Old Trafford with a 3-1 win over Huddersfield. Paul Pogba scored twice. The smiles are back on the faces, John.
Yeah. The smiles are back on the faces. It's the most overrated saying I've ever heard in football.
Why?
I mean, I've said to a few people, you know, in the best days with Ferguson and Roy Keane on the pitch, did you ever see Roy Keane with a smile on his face, Nathan?
Never.
I saw him with a scowl on his face. Mm. Yeah, the smile comes on your face when you've won it and done it. But I know what's going on there. They have to ease in Solskjaer. He seems a very likeable lad. And I think the planning and timing of it was excellent for Manchester United. I think they got rid of Mourinho at a time before they had a really, really good run in on paper. Cardiff was made for them. Huddersfield was made for them. And I think they were a bit worried, actually, if they kept Mourinho, he would win those matches and it would be more difficult to get rid of him.
Yeah.
So they bring Solskjaer in, they got a smile on their face, and it does, I think we've spoken about this before, Nathan, when you get a team a manager like Mourinho, who's sacked, you'll always get a boost because the players who haven't been doing the stuff now want to prove it was the manager's fault, it wasn't their fault. So they pick it up. And I think that's happened to Manchester United, along with the poorer quality that they've played against in the last two matches, which is good. I mean, it's good for Manchester United. But I think the smile on the face and all the things that we've heard during the week, most of it is total nonsense.
Right. And their next two games are at home against Bournemouth, and then they take on Newcastle on Wednesday. Then they have the break for the FA Cup. I think it's Spurs then at Wembley after that. So would you reserve judgment on what Solskjaer is doing? And listen, it's too early, I think, to judge him anyways, but you'd be reserving judgment on whether there is a bounce until you see them against Spurs.
No, I think they will get the bounce. I think they've already had the bounce, Nathan. They won the last two matches and they won it well and everything is fine and Pogba scored two goals. So everything is fine at the moment. And Solskjaer is there until the end of the season. I think he probably will go at the end of the season. I think that's been a clever move, actually. I didn't agree with it last week, but I think it's turned out to be well, especially with the fixture list they have.
Mm.
And they win those few matches. But I don't think he'll ever get to the stage where Solskjaer, being new at the moment, I think he's a likeable lad, will get to the stage where he actually has to really manage. And what I mean by that, Nathan, what you have to really manage is everybody's fine at the moment, everything is going well. It'll get to the stage where he'll have to leave players out, which they don't like, and that's the test of the manager. He can't be Mr. Nice Guy to them all. You're never Mr. Nice Guy to all the players, Nathan, because you can only play 11 at the time. And I know from my own experience, the lads who are not playing, well, we're not playing and I'm picked, they don't really like the manager. So that's when the management time comes into it, whether it be six or seven matches, when Solskjaer has to make a decision, they have to leave Joe Bloggs out. That's when it gets into the real managerial situation. At the moment, it's a real honeymoon period, and they've won the couple of matches that they've played against the lesser opposition, I think, which has been clever management by the people upstairs to do that. I don't think if Mourinho had stayed on, he might well have won these particular matches, Nathan, and then it would have been more difficult to get rid of him. Now, I know I'm repeating myself, but that's the way I see it.
Yeah.
I think he's a likeable lad who will do okay until the end of the season, but I don't really see him in the managerial seat.
Pogba, obviously.
On the long term, in the long term.
Pogba, obviously, John, as coming in for a lot of praise for his performances over the last couple of games.
Yeah.
Two goals yesterday, set up two in the win over Cardiff. He's obviously happy that Jose Mourinho is gone and obviously is back playing a decent standard of football, as you say, albeit against low enough quality opposition, and we'll see how he develops. But I wonder, I presume it would be madness to think that the Manchester United hierarchy are looking at Pogba's form and thinking, do we look for a manager who can get him playing with a smile on his face? Because that's the type of manager who'll get the best out of him.
Well, we don't know that, Nathan. You know, I mean, he's got Solskjaer at the moment after two matches. It's worked out okay. And Pogba will also be in a position where he's trying to prove it was Mourinho's fault that things didn't go right. But there's a long way to go. Yeah, that's against, you know, Cardiff and Huddersfield. Let's see if he's going to do it in all those matches that really, really matter when it comes to the crunch. We don't know, but there's a lot to be learned between now and the end of the season. And I'm not surprised Pogba is playing better than he did under Mourinho, because he'll want to prove this guy was wrong. He didn't use me well. I'm out now to prove that I was right and he was wrong. And only time will tell that.
I guess when you look at Manchester United long term, the last 3-4 days hasn't done Maurizio Pochettino any harm at all. Spurs scored 6 up at Goodison Park against Everton, scored 5 yesterday at home against Bournemouth, and that front four of Kane, Son, Ali, Eriksen all seem to be clicking together again after maybe a sluggish post-World Cup start to the season. What do you put it down to with Pochettino? Is it just good management, just good coaching, that he keeps getting Spurs, it seems, to a new level every season?
Yeah, it's of course. The thing is about football, which is great, isn't it? Good or bad, manifests itself on the pitch.
Mm.
If the manager's not doing his stuff, it'll manifest itself on the pitch. If they're doing well, then it manifests that he's doing the right things. There's no doubt. I think Pochettino has done a great job with Spurs. Now, whether the lack of a big squad catches up on him as we go on remains to be seen. But I think what he's done with the resources that he's had has been absolutely brilliant. And the team is playing better now than it's played all season. Whether they run out of steam with the amount of matches they have with the small squad remains to be seen. But he can't do anything about that at the moment. I think what he's done at Spurs with the players that he's had and what he's made them has been absolutely first class. And it's no wonder that if Manchester United were looking for a manager at the moment, or indeed if I was looking for a manager for what it's worth for Manchester United, it would have to be Pochettino.
He's had to deal with a lot of injuries this season as well. Moussa Dembele, who we've spoken about quite a bit on the show, has been missing for a good chunk of time. Christian Eriksen, when we talk about good midfielders and great midfielders, where does he fit into your thinking?
Well, I don't see him as a midfielder
right,
at all.
Right, more an attacking player.
He's an attacking... It's very difficult to describe his position because he does a bit in midfield, but he doesn't dictate the game in midfield. He's sort of in front of the... midfield trio without being on top of the forwards. He plays in the most peculiar position. I think they call it the number 10 position now. I don't know what they call it. But he does play. He's not going to dictate the game. It's like when he played against us for Ireland, for example, he only really came into the game when Martin O'Neill took two of the midfield players when we were beaten 5-1, and he was outstanding. But he doesn't dictate the game from the middle of the field. He's a very, very talented individual who can do a certain amount of midfield, but score more than his fair share of goals as what would be regarded as a midfield player. So he's a very, very valuable player for Spurs, or for any other team for that matter. But I don't see him really as a midfield player at all, Nathan.
Yeah, he's doing all right where he is anyways, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, yeah. Very valuable player.
Mm. John, great stuff. We're going to have to leave it there. We're tight on time.
Okay, Nathan.
Thanks a lot, John.
Thanks
Enjoy
again.
Your new year. We'll talk to you in 2019.
And you and all the listeners. Here's Nathan.
All right, that is John Giles. Up next, we're going to be talking to Johnny Ward about the day's events at Leopardstown.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.